So, I am now going to teach you the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita in a very understandable, simple way. So, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita sets the scene. The scene of the Bhagavad Gita is a war, a battle between a family, a large family, but they have divided into two groups, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. The reason they are going to fight a war is because they are in disagreement who should be the king, who should be the ruler. And Krishna, you all know who is Krishna. He is on the side of the Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira. Krishna believes that Yudhishthira should be the king of the world. The other party, the Kauravas, are headed by Dhritarashtra, who has 100 sons, headed by his main son, Duryodhan. Dhritarashtra has been blind from birth. And because he is blind from birth, that is his disqualification why he could never be the king. He should have been the king, but because he's blind, that's his disqualification. And therefore, his brother's son, his brother was Pandu, but he died. So when Pandu died, Dhritarashtra thought, oh, I'm now king. But because he was blind, that disqualifies him. Therefore, Pandu's son, Yudhishthira, should be the king. Now there's another brother. His name is Vidura. Vidura. Now Vidura cannot claim to be the king. No, he is not born as a king. He was born, his mother was Shudra. So he's not entitled.
One of the Pandavas or Kauravas?
Hmm?
He's one of Pandavas or Kauravas?
He's neither. Because you have three brothers, Pandu, Vidura, and Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra's sons, there are the Kauravas, the Kurus. Vidura, he's a Shudra, so he's not in the picture. And Pandu's sons are known as the Pandavas. Now, Pandu died at an early age. And he had two wives, Madri and Kunti. And so Kunti has to take care of these five children without her husband. And so the five Pandavas are Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, and the twins, Nakul and Sahadev. Arjuna, Nakul, and Sahadev. Now, each of these five sons have a different, you could say, biological father. Yudhishthira's father is Dharmaraj, or Yamaraj, the demigod in charge of death or religion, because he's called Dharmaraj. So Yudhishthira, by nature, is the most pious, most righteous. He always does the right thing, no matter what.
Hmm? Yudhishthira Pandava is Yamaraj.
Yamaraj, or sometimes another word is used, Dharmaraj, the king of religion. Bhima's father is the demigod of the wind, Vayu. And Bhima has a nickname, Vrikodar. Vrikodar means that Bhima had...
Bhima's father is Vayu.
The wind god. So, Bhima's nickname, Vrikodar, means he can eat a voracious amount of food and he can do superhuman things.
Like a Superman.
Like Hanuman. Ah, Hanuman also comes from Vayu. So they are very intimately related. So that's Bhima. Yes. Then Arjuna, Krishna's very good friend. Arjuna is the third, and his father is the demigod Indra, the king of heaven. And the two twins, Nakul and Sahadev, they are the sons of the two physician demigods, Ashwini Kumars. They are doctors, but they have the head of a horse. The Ashwini Kumars. They're the father of the two twins, Nakul and Sahadev. Okay?
So, Nakul and Sahadev.
Now, how is it that Kunti is the mother with these different demigods as the father? And here's the reason. When Kunti, before she was married, she once served the great mystic Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni was so pleased with Kunti, Durvasa Muni gave her a special mantra. And this mantra, he said, with this mantra you can call any demigod. So one day Kunti was relaxing, and she said, you know, I got this mantra. Let's see what it can do. So she called for the sun god, Vivasvan, to come. And he appeared. Vivasvan appeared. And Vivasvan said, you have called. What do you want? And Kunti said, I just wanted to see. You can go back. Vivasvan said, I'm not going back. So Vivasvan gave Kunti her first son. And that son's name is Karna. You say Karan.
Yes.
Karna. Now this is before her marriage.
So basically, Karan is also son of Kunti.
Yes. Now, Kunti, now.
And Karan was supposed to be famous for divination, like he would do a lot of good karma.
Yes. So, when Vivasvan proposed to have a child with Kunti, Kunti said, no, I can't do that. I am not yet married. And Vivasvan said, no worry. I will see to it that you are remain untouched. So she gave birth to Karna from her ear, which is why he's called Karna, because the word Karna means ear. Sur?
Sutputra.
I don't know what Su must mean, the son. I don't know.
Sut is prostitute.
Well, because she's not married. Anyway, that depends on who's, what the reference.
I saw that.
It depends who's giving the explanation.
Okay. But he is basically, he's a good guy. I know Karani.
So, as soon as he appears from her ear, as soon as Karna takes birth, she puts him in a basket and sends him down the river because she can't have a child before she's married. So she gives the baby up and puts the, and the baby is taken, I don't remember who, but the baby is brought up by somebody. So he's considered, Karna is considered half-brother of the Pandavas, but they don't know that. Only Kunti knows this. Nobody else knows that. On the battle, Karna appears on the other side. So, the battle is being fought to determine who will rule the world. Dhritarashtra wants his son. He has 100 sons. And Dhritarashtra has the greatest wife. Her name is Gandhari. She was the most beautiful girl of her time. The most beautiful. But she's so great that when she got married, she looked at her husband. It was, of course, in those days, arranged marriage. And when she found out that her husband was going to be blind, she said, "I will also make myself blind." So she tied cloth around her eyes. And some say, well, why did she do that? And Gandhari said, "I must do that so that I do not feel in any way superior to my husband. I must always be subordinate and inferior to him." And she gave birth to 100 sons headed by Duryodhan. But on the day of this battle of Kurukshetra, many, many things had already taken place. And many evil things were done against the Pandavas due to the evil deeds of Dhritarashtra and his son Duryodhana. And so many different negotiations and things were tried, but by this time, the day of the battle, all hope was gone. There was no solution. They were going to fight. So, this is day one of the battle. Dhritarashtra is sitting away from the battlefield in his camp. And his secretary is Sanjay. And Sanjay is a mystic yogi. His guru is Vyasadeva. So, even though Sanjay and Dhritarashtra are away from the battle, Sanjaya has mystic television. He can see in his heart what's going on the battlefield. And so Bhagavad Gita opens with Dhritarashtra asking Sanjaya, "What's happening? What are my sons doing? And what are my brother's sons doing? What's happening?" So Sanjaya begins to describe by his mystic meditation, his mystic TV. He's telling Dhritarashtra, "Oh, Duryodhan is now speaking with his teacher and his army." And Duryodhan is describing the other party who has come to fight on the side of Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. And then he also gives an assessment, "But we have the great general Bhishma, we have Karna, who we talked about. We have all these great warriors, And Duryodhan says, I think we will definitely win because we have the best army. And Duryodhana says, and I'm looking at the Pandavas, they can't compete with us. We are too powerful. Then Krishna blows his conch shell. And Arjuna and all the Pandavas blow their conch shell. And when they blow that conch shell, it pierces the hearts of all the Kauravas as if, what's going on? Because Krishna, his conch shell and the Pandavas conch shells is transcendental. It is supernaturally powerful. Then the next scene, Arjuna, his good friend Krishna has agreed not to fight. It was already determined that Krishna would not fight on either side, that Krishna would not participate. But Arjuna asked Krishna, at least you should drive my chariot. And because Krishna and Arjuna are best of friends, they've been friends for over 100 years. That's a long time to be friends. I hope that you all remain friends 100 years. So, Krishna has agreed to be Arjuna's chauffeur. And Arjuna says to Krishna, take my chariot. I want to see who has come here to fight. So Krishna says to Arjuna, Krishna drives the chariot, and Krishna says to Arjuna, behold the Kauravas. And then Arjuna sees who he has to fight. He sees all these people that he has grown up with, friends, relatives, cousins, fathers, yes, his military teachers on the side. His half-brother, Karna, who he doesn't know is his half-brother, is on the other side. So when Arjuna sees all these people that he has to fight, Arjuna becomes overwhelmed with compassion. And he's like, oh, how can I do this? I have to fight him. I have to fight him. I have to kill him. How can I? No, I can't do this. So Arjuna starts to give arguments to Krishna. Krishna, I think better they kill me. I don't want to have to kill them. So Arjuna is talking and talking and talking, and Krishna's just listening. He's not saying anything. And finally, at the end of chapter 1, Krishna hears Arjuna say, Krishna, I will not fight. And he drops his bow. And that's the end of chapter 1.